Welcome to Crime and Wine. I'm Pamela Fagan Hutchins, your host, and this is the show where I talk with other crime fiction writers about the stories of thrills and suspense that will leave you mystified, sometimes horrified, and always wanting more. Please join me in welcoming today's special guest.
You guys, how are you out there? It's Pamela, back for a little Crime and Wine. And before we welcome today's special guest, I did want to remind you, because I'm shameless like that, that I've had four releases this year. What are you waiting for? Go out there and check them out. The new Detective Delaney Pace crime thriller series, Her Silent Bones, Her Hidden Grave, Her Last Cry, and the eighth installment in my Patrick Flint series, Skin and Bones. So enough about the shameless plugs. I want to bring in today's guest. She's an internationally best-selling and award-winning author full of Southern sass and humor. She writes small-town mystery, women's fiction, memoir. You name it, she's done it, with a million copies out there in people's hands. And plus, she loves dogs, so we love her. And I can't wait for you guys to meet Kay Bratt. Hello!
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I so welcome you to the show, and I'm so excited. We were laughing earlier, you guys, that people are saying you guys could be sisters, and I'm putting my face up next to yours and thinking, I think we could. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say that Kay has a brand spanking new release out there, Blackbird, which is the ninth book in her Heart's Ridge series, which is killing it. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been really exciting to see how many people were waiting on that book to drop. And I dropped it early, and they love that.
You know, it's not often that we get to surprise our readers with an early drop. It's usually like, you know, oh, well, guys, it's going to be a smidge late.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we've already got a couple of people checking in and saying hi, Janilyn. Hi, Patty. And hello.
Amber. I recognize these names coming up.
I love it. So you are not only famous for your love of your family, your dogs and kids, but you are famous for writing things that you pull from real life. Is that the case with Blackbird and with the Heart's Ridge series? Are you touching into some Brat Pack stuff here?
Well, there are some different parts and aspects of my life, but I think that the one of the things that's made this series so successful is that you've got this dysfunctional family. Oh no, that's not from my life at all. And you've got a family of sisters, and I've got a few. And you've got all this going on, but also in the heart of these books, each book includes a true crime story that actually happened in real life. So you've got fiction and a fictional family and fictional dysfunction and love and loyalty wrapped around a true crime. And like the first crime that book one was wrapped around happened a long time ago, but it always really caught my interest. And I'm not going to tell you what the crime is, because a lot of the readers now, they like to read the book first and try to figure out if they remember the crime, especially if they're true ID addicts like me. And then in the back of the book, it tells you what the main crime was based on. So there's usually two plot lines going, one, the true crime, and then a whole nother plot line with the fictional characters. And I think the readers really like this.
I think that sounds like a lot of fun. So you're a true crime junkie?
Oh, I love it. You know, Dateline, 2020, 48 Hours, any of those Twisted Sisters. Have you heard of that one?
I haven't watched it. I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Now, and it depends on my mood. I used to watch nothing but true crime. And then sometimes, especially since I'm writing true crime now, based in my fictional stories, sometimes I want something a little bit lighter. And then I'll go over to my Bravo stuff, you know, Housewives and Below Deck and Vanderpump Rules, which I have to say, I was a fan of Vanderpump Rules before Scandoval, just so everybody knows. I was a true fan.
You need that kind of stuff, you know, to keep injecting the dysfunction into your sisters.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I'm going to assume that while there may be some dramatic points to your past, that even your family doesn't probably provide enough. You need as much as you can get.
Right. Yep. And you pulling those tidbits from everywhere, you know.
Exactly. Well, Pam Fleming says hello. So does Tammy Grace. So we've got a crowd out there.
Yeah.
Hello. I love it. So now with respect to Blackbird, and I know we have to be careful not to give spoilers because we want people to be able to enter the series, you know, at the beginning if they haven't embraced it yet. But now, could they, if they wanted to, jump in at any point? Or is this really...
It would not be as good as an experience, really, because, you know, the sisters, they grow and they progress. And, you know, different needs that they have in book one, they might have fulfilled in book three. So it's really a better experience. Like Heart's Ridge could be read as a standalone and be done with it. But if you want to continue on, each one is in chronological order.
I'm a purist. I like to enjoy the books in order so you can see the characters develop and stuff. And personally, that's what I'd recommend for this, you guys. But given that we want to be careful not to have any spoilers, is there anything you can tell us about Blackbird without doing that?
Yeah, I can tell you this, that usually with each of the books, the plot line for the true crime mystery is wrapped up by the end of the book. But this one was such a big deal, and it really hit me really hard, this true crime about this mother I'll just say that something happened to this mother when she was out shopping at Walmart, and that this is real life, true, this really happened. And her story really impacted me because, you know, she had children, I have children, she was just going out Christmas shopping, and something happened to her, and her case was so interesting that her case has actually gone through a couple of different books. And it is also, it started in book 8, and it continues through book 9. And, you know, in Blackbird, you get to see a lot more about it. And I think that it's probably a little bit deeper than I've gone, or maybe darker, just a little bit darker. None of my books are really dark, but there is a character in this book who is a psychopath. And I had to do a ton of research because, you know, everybody thinks they have a psychopath in their family. But what I learned is there's a big difference between a sociopath and a psychopath.
Yes.
So I've read tons of books. I've looked at lots of different material, research material, online material, podcasts, different things to really try to get the personality and the goals and objectives of a psychopath correct, especially versus a sociopath, because mine's a psychopath and not a sociopath.
Yeah. A little scarier.
Yeah. A little scarier. Yeah.
A little darker. So do you envision continuing this series as long as you can find true crime, you know, plot lines that interest you, or do you have an end in mind?
Well, I had an end in mind for book 8, and then they just wanted so much more that, you know, I started on book 9 and book 10, and I've got several saved up true crimes that I can incorporate, and I'd really like to go back into past books in the series and write more about other characters and, you know, some of the supporting characters. But this latest book, everyone's like, we want more of the family, more of the family. And it's kind of strange because the book has hit, like, you know, number one slots and number two slots in mystery and women's sleuth and small town detectives and things like that. But I hear from my readers, I want to hear more about the family.
Yeah.
So those two different parallel lines, as long as the readers still want them and they're posting good reviews and, you know, I can see that there's not a drop off, I'll keep writing them.
I love it. And isn't it the truth that what keeps us glued to series is that we fall in love with characters, right? Yeah. I mean, we still want the excitement of a good plot line, but we fall in love with characters. We have a lot of people that are checking in and want to say hello. Emily's saying hi. Diane Robinson is saying that she loves the books and they keep getting better and better. That poor family. Maureen Downey wants me to tell you that she loves the series.
Maureen, thank you.
So much. And Emily, I know that doesn't look like the name Emily, but trust me, this is Emily. Emily would like to know the difference, if you can explain it verbally, between a sociopath and a psychopath.
Yeah, I can give you a quick reference. A sociopath is more along the lines that they have a lot less impulse control, more outright rages, fits. They're more along the lines with, I'm going to get my revenge now. A psychopath will sit back quietly and plan things out for a long time. You're not going to see anything that most psychopaths, now the majority, I read this book of this man that wrote, and he studied psychopaths in prisons. and he even did MRIs of their brains.
Yeah.
And it came to show that the psychopaths actually have a different kind of brain stem than the normal person. So there were different abnormalities in the brain of a psychopath, but a psychopath is much more scarier because they can sit back for years and plan revenge or an act of crime and make sure that they're going to do this crime or this revenge without getting caught. Whereas a sociopath is more likely to get caught right away because they can't control themselves.
Very cool. And I always think about, you know, you can have somebody that's sociopathic that's not what we think of as evil. But right. A lot of times the psychopath is more of what we think of as somebody that's just pure evil.
Well, the other thing about a psychopath that was interesting in my research is there is a lot of people in it that are psychopaths that are closet psychopaths that are in politics and that are in there are CEOs, because one of the attributes of a psychopath is they have leadership qualities, but they're also ruthless.
You think of like Charles Manson, you know, and the way that he was able to get people to follow him in this
mind control
way. So super interesting. And I'm popping up some questions. You guys, I know that those of you that are watching can see them. Those of you that are listening with the ears maybe can't see all the question, the comments, but they're not necessarily questions. Some of them are just people saying super nice things. And Emily says, which one do you think is more scary? I think a psychopath is, but yeah, Kay's agreeing. Yeah. Janelin says, I like to read about both.
I can tell you, though, that I've had a sociopath that's been fixated on me for a very long time, and they can really make your life hell. You never know what they're going to do next. I mean, they can threaten you and threaten your career. They can threaten to disassociate you from your family, from your friends, and they have ways that they, you know, try to do that, and some people fall for it. So, you know, I've had very, very close contact with a sociopath, and it really sticks in your gut, and it's hard to get past.
Yeah, I had a stalker that was a sociopath, and it's just, we moved because of it. I mean, we literally picked up and moved states because they just get in your head and just can't.
Yeah.
But speaking of moving, I do want to ask you, you've lived in a ton of places, you've done a ton of traveling. How much of that traveling in these different places comes to bear in your books?
Well, it comes to bear a lot in my past books. A lot of the books that my publisher, Lake Union, put out, because I lived in China for nearly 5 years. And a lot of my books were set in China, some of the past books before I switched over to women's fiction and small town mystery. So I use a lot of that kind of stuff. But I've also, when I first came back to the States, I was a CASA, a court appointed special advocate volunteer. And so some of my books, you know, you tend to see things about foster care and, you know, children at risk and things like that. So I use that experience with those kids for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of it. And, you know, right now Hearts Ridge is set in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and I live at the Blue Ridge Mountains. And it's kind of based a little bit on a combination of my town here in Georgia and then another town in Georgia called Jasper.
Yeah.
And I kind of take different things from each of them. And it's kind of funny because I was at a book club recently, and one of the girls at the book club, she said that she was running on the treadmill listening to my book on tape. And she's like, the girl next to her owns a restaurant that was mentioned in my book. And she was like, oh my gosh, you're in this book.
so much fun to give people shout outs like that. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And so at this point in the interview, I normally get to what I call the speed round, where we just go over some questions that I ask all the other authors. And what it does is it gives the listeners, the viewers, our readers a chance to see the ways in which we're similar and the ways in which we're different by retreading some of that same author ground. And the authors, you guys, they do not know which exact questions I'm going to ask ahead of time, although I've given them some examples. So don't be scared, Kay. Don't be scared.
I'm scared.
I already know the answer to you. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Oh, yeah. So everyone knows I'm a dog person for sure. I do like cats, though. I love cats.
Do you have cats?
I did have a cat, but I don't have her anymore. She's passed on. But I would like to have a cat, but my husband says we have enough on our hands right now.
Yeah, you guys do have a lot on your hands.
I really like those little, they're called munchkin cats.
Oh, I've seen those.
The little tiny feet, little leg. Oh my gosh, I want one so bad, but
we have a tabby that has like munchkin features, and it's really strange because he's otherwise looks normal, but his legs are a little, anyway, they're so cute. So Maria wants to know, before we get into these speed questions, are all the books in the series going to be available in audio?
Right now I have audio book deals for books 1 through 10. Now, if I do a book 11, which I hope I will, we'll see about that one. But right now I'm under contract with Podium, and they'll be in Audible books 1 through 10.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Drum roll. So when you sit down to write, are you I've got my space, I go there every time. Are you a migratory writer? Do you
I've got to have everything around me. and I can't even write on a laptop, and I've tried. It's like I gave my daughter in Hawaii a brand new Mac laptop because my brain turns off when I leave my office for my writing.
Yeah.
I have to have everything perfect around me in my home. And that's why I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do this next adventure, which I can't say now because it's in my next newsletter and I'll need to learn to write migratory. So but no,
embrace your inner nomad. So do you like wear the same clothes? Do you have any other kind of rituals, or I don't want to say rigid, Kay, but that need some structure that you need?
I do. I'm very structured. I mean, the first thing when I get out of bed is, of course, you know, I run to the bathroom, brush my teeth, wash my face, go get dressed, and I put on real clothes. Because I feel like if I'm walking around in pajamas or something like that, then I don't feel like I'm actually at work.
Yeah.
So I wear real clothes, but you know, nothing real fancy. I'll wear, you know, leggings, and usually I wear a sweater because the air conditioning, I don't like air conditioning that much, and we run it. So, and then I have hot flashes, of course. So I'm like sweater up, sweater on, sweater off. But yeah, I'm a real routine person, and I'll check my email. I'll see if there's anything emergency before I get started.
Yeah. Do you block off all technology when you're writing? Do you like turn off Wi-Fi or
those? I should.
I know. Isn't it the worst how addictive it becomes?
It is, yeah. But, you know, I use my crew, and if they're out there listening to this, you know, I'm just like, I use them so much for emotional support, and they're so supportive of me in everything, either my personal life, my writing, my everything. And so if I'm feeling like really, really stressed out, a lot of times I'll just check in with them and see what's going on, and it just, and then it gets me re-energized to get back to work.
So, you know, Daniel Gerard does this thing where she sets a timer for 15 minutes and she's like, all I have to do is 15 minutes. And then whatever I need, I'll go and have that thing, a snack or a walk, or I'll check in with my group or whatever it is. And I find I do a lot better if I know it's only got to be X long. If I'm like, I just have to sit down and write today, I kind of like turn to Facebook as a crutch.
I know. Well, you know, sometimes I'll get up if I'm having a really good writing time, and like, I'm like, oh man, I really love where this is going. I get so excited that I can't sit in my chair. So then I'll get up and I'll dance to a song on Alexa with the dogs. And then so we're dancing. And then like, okay, come on, come back to work. And then I get Hazel B back on my side and Rango back over here, and we get back to work.
I'm glad that they support you like that. Do they dance? They dance with you too, right? They dance with
you. Oh, Rango loves to dance. And even a pet psychic told me that. And I didn't tell her anything about Rango. She's like, your other dog who's on the other side says that the dog that he left behind likes to dance. And Rango loves to jump around on his hind legs and dance. And I didn't even mention Rango to her. And she was right on. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So when you get up and play this music, is it a particular type of music or artist, or do you have a favorite that you go to over and over, or do you just turn on the radio?
Well, I have a favorites list on Alexa, and it's got different ones from different genres and things like that. And I love Uptown Funk. That's one that really gets me going.
That's a good one.
Now, and you know, you might need this tip. I've got a tip for you. When I was watching my great nephew one day, and he could not quit crying, and his parents were out on date night, she was like, I called her. I'm like, he won't quit crying. She's like, play Uptown Funk. He will immediately stop crying. She says, we play it in the car and everything. And now you've got a 7-month-old grandbaby?
Yes. Uptown Funk. Yeah, I'm going to have to speak. So Uptown Funk you up. Yep. Uptown Funk you up.
That is exactly it.
Yeah, got it. I almost got up and danced to it, but I have on leggings. So if you or say one of your characters in Hearts Ridge or Deputy Gray or somebody had a theme song, either you or a character, would there be a theme song? Is that their kind of vibe?
Well, one thing that you'll notice if you look at the titles, all of my books except for book 1, have titles from the Beatles. And that's because the main character's mother absolutely was a Beatles fanatic. Now, Taylor, luckily for her, her dad was a James Taylor fan. Yeah. So even though her first name is Georgia, she goes by Taylor. And that fits her personality more. And then her theme song would be my theme song, which would be Let It Be. And one time my mom and I was not speaking for a long time. And but before we stopped not speaking, when she would call, I would kind of get really stressed out for a minute. And so then I made her ringtone Let It Be. And so now it's been on my phone forever. And that's just kind of like my theme song.
That's really cool. You got your mindset right by starting with the ringtone.
Absolutely.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. So next question. If you could for one day be something else, but you only get to do it for one day, you only have to do it for one day, other than the things you already are, what would it be?
I think it would be a kindergarten teacher. I just love the kids, the small kids. And actually, I love kind of I did substitute teaching for a short time, and there was some eighth graders that I was not fond of. But but I like the older teenagers, and I like the ones that are not yet teenagers the most.
Yeah.
But I tend to always have a connection with kids, no matter how old they are. I think I would love to just sit in the kindergarten room all day and love on them and play with them and try to teach them stuff.
I have an aunt that was a kindergarten teacher, and she was just so tickled by them all the time. I think they were exhausting. I think it's fair to say that you sleep well when you come home, but she thought that they were so much fun. Yeah. Okay. So do you consider yourself a plotter or a pantser? So writing by the seat of your pants, you guys, or sitting down and plotting things out and outlining and things like that.
Okay. I straddle both sides of the fence, because I start, like, I had a whole notebook that I put together for like a year of this series, books 1 through 8. And I had, you know, just the basics of book one is going to be this true crime. Here's the family members. Book two, I'm going to bring in them all the way to 8. But then I reared off of it completely, but it gave me a starting point.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of both.
You know, I find that I always need that starting point, like you. But the characters do, after you're a couple books into a series, they have a life of their own. And then by God, they're going to tell you what the story is. You can't fight against them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I did want to mention, though, I always found it interesting. Now, did I get this wrong, or did I read somewhere that your main character, Patrick Flint, was based physically off of your sexy husband?
Well, the cover was. And this was actually came about kind of as a joke. The character is my dad, like literally my dad. My dad got cancer, was given 3 months to live. He's fine. Okay. So this is a spoiler. Mm-hmm. It's 4 years later. He's fine. But he was given 3 months to live. And so I said, what have I been waiting for? It's time to base a series off my dad and involve him in it, and we'll do it together. And so we really sat down. What kind of book do you want to be in? You know, hopeful ending, adventurous guy, loving family, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the things he wanted. Mm-hmm. But then it came time to have a cover, and there wasn't any existing photographs of my dad that were, you know, high resolution from that age. And there was this picture of my husband from about 10 years ago where he was looking really good. And we were up in the mountains, and my assistant had always said, that is a book cover, honey. And so we did use that as the cover for the book, and my husband pretended to hate it, but really. When it came time to refresh the cover and it was no longer him, got kind of butthurt about it. Does nobody want to see me on the cover anymore? I'm like, you know, you just need to refresh every now and then. Not me personally, but the readers need to refresh.
Right. I love that. Yeah.
But you have a really cute husband too. We both really love our husbands, I think. Yeah.
That's something that we have much in common, that we are both very much in love with our husbands. We've been married 30 years. What about you?
20. And I'm every bit as gaga as I was the first time I realized I was gaga. It's like, it's almost embarrassing, except that it's so much fun.
I know. Yeah. And you feel sorry for other people who don't have that.
I do. Honestly, it's like to have that magic touch your life is transformative.
And I honestly think that probably the majority of my readers are waiting for me to kick off and die so that they can come in and steal Ben.
Seriously.
They want my Ben.
I totally get what you're saying. I laugh at Eric, and I'm like, honey, people don't follow me for my books. Addie says, bring Eric back on the cover. But they don't follow me for my books. They follow me hoping I'll talk about you. Occasionally dogs are all right, but throw up another picture of your husband. And, you know, and he laughs and says, well, that's just because all your readers are our age or older. And I said, don't knock it. They're still women. They can see.
No, there's some younger ones that like those silver foxes.
There definitely is. And that's always a little nerve wracking too. When my daughter was in college, and shout out to Lily, if you're watching it out there, honey, this story's about you. She had a roommate who was like, Samantha, who's the hot husband of your mother? You know, oh my God. And Samantha's like, gross, that's my stepdad. I'm like, back off, younger women. Back
that's
off.
Funny. Well, yeah. My husband gets better looking every year, and it makes me so mad because I'm like, the women in my family don't age gracefully, in my opinion. Oh, but he just keeps getting better looking.
And it does suck, doesn't it? I hate this. I literally today, my husband and I communicate in selfies, you know, just kind of like, hey. And I sent one today, and he said something nice back, and I was like, I'm trying to keep up with you. I mean, desperately trying to keep up with you so you don't quit looking at me.
Yeah, I know. That's me. I'm like, don't look.
We really could be sisters. Seriously. Well, we're getting all these cute comments, and I don't know if you've been seeing, I've been throwing it. Oh, I love watching Kay and Ben sing and dance. I've been throwing the comments up as we go. You guys have been fantastic.
Yes, you have. Thank you so much, guys.
Kay, you've been fantastic. This is
you. I could just talk to you all night. It's fun.
I know. And in fact, you guys, we may do that. But for now, we're going to bid each other adieu, and we're going to let Kay go on and write number 10 or 11 in this series, because there have been some comments along the line of stopping after 11. What are you talking about? You're not allowed to do that. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for the invite. I really enjoyed it. And thank you, crew, call out for you guys coming in and taking part of this, and your followers as well.
They showed up for you. And Barbara says, thank you for sharing your time with us. So everybody wave goodbye to Kay. We're waving goodbye. I'll see you soon. And this is the part of the show where I have to do all that obligatory stuff, guys. So number one, not an obligation, but a joy to be able to tell you that at my website, PamelaFaganHutchins.com, you can find the past shows, and you can go and see the books we covered. You can see the upcoming shows. You can read those books ahead of time or catch up on a series that we're going to cover so that you're really able to get into the discussion. And it will not hurt my feelings if while you're out there, you check out my books. They're in every format you can think of. You can also ask your library or bookstore to order them. I know that not everybody can afford to buy every book that comes out, and that's where our public availability comes into play. And finally, here we go. Crime and Wine is a solely owned and copyrighted production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, a digital media group with over 4 million viewers and listeners in 153 plus countries. Love it. I'm going to pop up the last few of the comments as I want to give you guys the most of the love here for sharing your time with us, and make sure that your comments make it onto the screen. I love you guys so much. I love how much fun that everybody had with Kay today. And holy cow, were there a lot of comments here at the end. You guys rock. I will see you then next time. Let's see if this time I can do it correctly. I turn everything off, and here we go in 3, 2, 1. Oops, wrong way.
Thanks for joining us today on Crime and Wine, chats with crime fiction authors and Pamela Fagan Hutchins. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll check back in with us next time for more thrills, suspense, and stories that will mystify, sometimes horrify, and always leave you wanting more.